is Where America Comes to Talk, the Ed Schultz Radio Show. Before we get to our next guest, I want to play cut one on the list today. David Plouffe, this goes back to a forum he was a part of on November 14th, just a few days after the election, the University of Delaware. This is what Mr. Plouffe, chief White House advisor to the president, said.
We want to engage in comprehensive tax reform. We also need to engage in entitlement reform. You know, Medicare, Medicaid carefully, these are chief drivers of our deficit. We made a lot of progress with Obamacare. There's a lot more to do. And there's other spending we have to cut.
Wow! Now, we missed it a few weeks ago, but we caught it last night. And if the White House thinks that the chief drivers of our deficit are Medicare and Medicaid, where does that leave us? Dick Durbin out, I think, mopping it up today. Brian Butler tweeting out the long-term viability of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid should not be part of a plan to avert the fiscal cliff. He's quoting Senator Durbin. But this is somewhat of an ominous comment that needs clarification. So the president, if this is where the White House is, does that mean the president's going to go on the road, first stop, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, and say that Medicare and Medicaid are the chief drivers of our deficit? For more on this, let's turn to Bernie Sanders, independent Senator Vermont. Senator, good to have you with us.
Great to be with you.
How do those comments ring your ears?
I find them unsettling, and I find them incorrect. Let's remember that when George W. Bush took the presidency over and Clinton left, we had a $236 billion surplus. That's in January 2001, and the economist projected that surplus would grow in the years to come. What happened under Bush, and here's what the deficit is about, what happened under Bush is we went into war in Iraq and Afghanistan, didn't pay for it, gave huge tax breaks to the rich, didn't pay for it, passed a Medicare Part D prescription drug program, didn't pay for it. And as a result, Ed, of the Wall Street-caused recession, this is an important point not talked about enough, revenue to the federal government is now at its lowest point in 60 years, because when people are unemployed, not working, and not paying taxes, your revenue goes down. It's 15.6% of GDP today, lowest in 60 years. Those are the significant reasons why we have a $1 trillion deficit today. To my mind, what we're really looking at now in this fiscal cliff debate is not a fiscal discussion, but a political war. And what you have seen in recent days, unbelievably and arrogantly, is the CEOs from Wall Street, people like Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs, Pete Peterson of the Blackstone Group, other CEOs, these guys who are worth billions or hundreds of millions of dollars. And in the case of Wall Street, the people who helped cause the recession, which is a major factor to the deficit, they now have the nerve, after having gotten their huge bailouts from the federal government, coming forward and say, oh, we're going to have to cut Social Security, we're going to have to cut Medicare, we're going to have to cut Medicaid. This has nothing to do with economics or fiscal issues. This is something about class warfare, political power, and the wealthy saying, sorry, we've got the power, and the middle class and working families are going to have to suffer even more.
I don't want to mischaracterize what David Plouffe said back on November 14th. He said what he said. This is Jay Carney telling Chuck Todd that Social Security is not a driver of the deficit.
When you say entitlement reform, does that mean Social Security? Because sometimes when you've said in the past you've meant Medicare and Medicaid.
I refer to health care programs and health care entitlements, and I think that the president has long made clear that he is open to discussions about strengthening Social Security as part of a separate track. We should address the drivers of the deficit, and Social Security is not currently a driver of the deficit.
Okay, but another spokesperson, as Mr. Plouffe said, the chief driver of the deficit are Medicare and Medicaid. So is there not, I don't mean to alarm everybody here, Senator Sanders, but is this a time for clarification?
It absolutely is. Now, the good news, Ed, is what Jay Carney just said, as you and I have talked about for months now. Social Security has not contributed a nickel to the deficit, has a $2.7 trillion surplus, and doesn't contribute to the deficit because it's funded by the payroll tax. I am very glad that Harry Reid recently came out and said, get Social Security out of the deficit reduction package. And apparently, that is what the White House said yesterday. This is a good step forward. In terms of Medicare and Medicaid, we have got to deal with those programs within the context of health care. Can we make these programs more efficient without cutting benefits? The answer is yes, because as a nation, we spend almost twice as much per person on health care as do the people of any other country. For example, one example, as part of the Medicare Part D prescription drug program, the Republicans put in language which said that Medicare cannot negotiate drug prices with the pharmaceutical industry. Does that make sense? Not to me. We can save a substantial sum of money by doing that negotiation. So if people are saying, well, let's have reform of Medicare, that's one reform that I would support. It would save Medicare money. There are other ways that we can save money. But at a time when 50 million people have no health insurance at all, should we as a nation throw children off of Medicaid? Should we deny middle class or working class families the ability to send their parents, if need be, to a nursing home and cut back on those programs? I think not. There are fair ways to do deficit reduction. And by the way, and sometimes we forget about this as well, Ed, in terms of clarification, as a result of the rather poor agreements reached between the Democrats and the Republicans in 2010 and 2011, we have already cut over $1 trillion in programs, and the wealthiest people and largest corporations have not contributed one penny to a deficit reduction.
That is the bottom line, and it's going to be like getting blood out of a rock with these corporate CEOs. They don't want to serve it up. In fact, they've got the White House talking about corporate rate reduction.
Right. I mean, just stop.
I find absolutely amazing.
And I agree with you. But just think about the arrogance of these guys on Wall Street, some of whom are billionaires. They were bailed out by the middle class of this country when their greed and recklessness nearly destroyed the international financial system. And now they come back to Capitol Hill to lecture Congress and the American people about the need to cut programs for working families who are already struggling because of the recession they caused. Now, is that arrogance?
The pinnacle of arrogance. Here's cut seven. This is Lloyd Blankfein. We played this on the tube last night. Here it is.
You're going to have to undoubtedly do something to lower people's expectations, the entitlements, and what people think that they're going to get, because they're not going to get it. Social Security wasn't devised to be a system that supported you for a 30-year retirement after a 25-year career. So there'll be certain things that, you know, the retirement age has to be changed. Maybe some of the benefits have to be affected. Maybe some of the inflation adjustments have to be revised. But in general, entitlements have to be slowed down and contained.
All of a sudden, they're experts on this. Who the hell has a 25-year career? Only people on Wall Street have a 25-year career.
This is
the working stiffs of America don't have a 25-year career. And, oh, by the way, they only get Social Security benefits on an average of 16 years.
Absolutely. The arrogance of this guy who is worth hundreds of millions of dollars telling the American people that they're going to have to expect lower expectations. What about him? What about him expecting lower expectations and maybe paying a little bit more in taxes? What about him supporting a transfer fee on stock transactions? What about that? Maybe lower expectations for the CEOs on Wall Street rather than people making $30,000 or $40,000 who are already struggling. I mean, that is just, to me, when you talk about class warfare going on in America, Ed, I think you got the quote, which exemplifies, you know, what that's about.
No question about it. Senator Bernie Sanders with us here on the Ed Schultz Radio Show. Always great to have you with us, Senator. So we are at a loggerhead here. The question in the progressive community, what are you talking about when you say Medicare and Medicaid needs to be put on the table and we need to protect the solvency? What does that all mean? And will the Republicans give up any revenue when they say that they won't unless it's connected to entitlement reform? So that pretty much in a nutshell is where we are, isn't it, Senator?
It is. But here's the good news, Ed. We have, in overwhelming numbers, the American people behind us. We have an election which indicated that and poll after poll which shows that. What we need now on the part of the president and the Democrats is some political courage. It is time for the Republicans to start retreating, not Democrats. And if we hold firm and rally the American people who are already with us, we're going to win this fight.
Good to have you with us, Senator. Thanks so much. We'll do it again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.